Welcome to Wellness Your Way. I'm your host, Megan Lyons, and I've helped thousands of people find their own way to wellness. Wellness Your Way is an extension of that work, aimed to help you find your unique path to feeling your very best. Each week, we'll go through tactical strategies you can use to improve your health, happiness, and quality of life. So grab a mug of tea or lace up your walking shoes. We're about to dive in. Hello there, friends, and welcome back to episode 99 of Wellness Your Way. I have another interview for you today, and if you are a high-achieving, goal-oriented, little bit or a lot of bit tough-on-yourself type person, I think you will relate to both Lizzie and I as we share part of our stories, or rather Lizzie shares more of hers, and I relate. I am nodding my head the whole time relating to parts of her stories of why for high achievers it can be hard to have self-compassion, to feel good enough when we've spent our whole lives telling ourselves it's not enough, go more, do more, be more, all of that. Lizzie shares some really interesting strategies today on learning to build that self-love and self-compassion. And several of these strategies you will have heard. If you're a Revitalize member, for sure, we will have talked about some of this, or a one-to-one client of mine, we will have talked about some of this. And even on the podcast, we've talked about some of this. But the way Lizzie talks about it is slightly different from my take in an amazing way. So just hearing her examples to some of the same concepts that we've covered, I am confident will help these ideas solidify more in your brain, will help you make them more actionable and usable in your day-to-day life. And you'll hear at the end, her call to action to you is simple but profound. So I know you'll enjoy this episode, and I'm excited to hear what you think about it. Let me introduce our guest before we dive into the interview. Lizzie Kangro is an international expert nutritionist, wellness coach, and author with a passion for helping other women silence their inner mean girl and confidently step into the body they love. In 2017, she founded Nutrition by Lizzie to help clients stop calorie counting, enjoy eating without guilt, and achieve unconditional love for their bodies. If that doesn't sound amazing, I don't know what is. So let's dive into the interview with Lizzie Kangro. Thank you so much, Lizzie, for coming on Wellness Your Way. I'm thrilled to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Of course. You share so much wonderful information on your social media, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, as we go through this. I already feel inspired based on my brushing up on you before we started recording. So thank you for all the good information you're sharing.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, it's my passion and purpose to share that information and to help. So
amazing. Well, I've read your formal bio for our audience, but why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I'm Lizzie. I am a nutrition wellness coach and author, and I empower women to empower themselves to confidently step into the body that they love using a combination of nutrition, movement, and mindset.
Oh, I love that. So succinct and so powerful. And I already know a lot of people are relating to what you're saying. I know from what you put on your website and elsewhere that you're often talking specifically to women who are burnt out, kind of high achieving, doing all the things, but they're still not feeling good enough, which I know is a lot of my audience, unfortunately, and certainly part of my own journey as well. Why do you think there are so many of us feeling this way?
That's a really great question. And there's probably several different reasons. I feel like, in my opinion, one of the key reasons is that we're kind of in this hustle culture.
Yeah.
That really awards working hard.
Yes.
And achievement. and kind of encourage us to seek external validation as opposed yes. to getting our validation internally. And that can kind of keep us chasing the carrot on the stick, as it were. So I know from my experience, you know, when I was a student, I would always study to get the top grade.
Yes.
And even if I got the top grade, I would be disappointed if I wasn't the first in the class. And
yes.
so this kind of like constant chasing of, you know, a moving goalpost, I think that keeps us feeling very stuck.
Yeah.
And also feeling very, very burnt out. So, yeah.
Absolutely agree. And I think about how tough it is to raise children these days, or to be a teacher, to be in any of these influential roles, where we realize that praising achievement is not always the best. I look back at my own history, and my parents were very well-meaning in praising my achievement, and my teachers and everyone else who praised achievement. But I think in doing that, we learn exactly what you said, that we're good because we achieve. You're good because you were the top of the class or whatever. And we forget that we're good just because we are who we are. That's a really hard lesson for us to learn at this point for many of us.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, as babies don't ever judge themselves the what yeah. they are and aren't achieving. And so for a lot of my clients, they kind of believe that this is, you know, something that has to always be the way, and that they've always been like that. And whilst it might feel like
yeah.
you're like that, as a newborn, you weren't like that. And so
it's
not a matter of like achieving anything or, you know, starting something new. It's a matter of reclaiming that sense of internal self-worth, right?
Absolutely. Yes, I agree completely. So a lot of times for people, this achieving mentality bleeds really closely into our health. When we feel like we're not X enough, we're not healthy enough, we're not organic enough, we don't fit into this pants, we're not whatever, doing enough skincare strategies. There are a million different ways that we can tell ourselves we're not enough related to health specifically. And this leads a lot of people into some very unfortunate, in my opinion, I think yours too, fad diets and other kind of scary things. I know you spend a lot of time helping people ditch these fad diets and kind of reclaiming their own health in a more holistic way. Can you tell us about this strategy or your own path to get to this place?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so passionate about doing this work, because I'm sure for a lot of people who are in this industry and who work in health is that we've been on our own journeys.
Yeah.
And I know that you mentioned just now that kind of you've been through your journey to,
yes.
you know, overcoming that high achiever, overachiever,
yes.
you know. And so I have been on my own journey to really battling with my body. And I mention it a little bit more in my book, Reclaim the Rebel, but essentially, I began as a 14-year-old who loved running, who wanted to help her granddad feel better whilst he was going through chemotherapy, and I baked him a lemon drizzle cake. And so at the time, I thought I was, you know, being good and, you know, doing something that kind of made someone else feel good. I was also, you know, a very high achiever in school. As I mentioned, I ran. And then a couple of days later, my granddad passed away from a heart attack.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. And it's kind of a little bit of the bittersweet ending to the story, because it was his death that made me really question my decisions over food. And I thought somehow I'd killed my granddad with this cake. And I was like, oh my goodness, I need to learn how to be healthy because I'm not being healthy enough. Right. That story of And so I looked to magazines. At the time, there wasn't really social media, but I got some really bad advice and really went into a negative relationship with my food and my body, and ended up suffering for 10 years from anorexia.
Wow.
And it was through this journey, though, that I discovered the tools that I now use to help my clients so that they don't get to that place that I got to, at least to the extreme lengths that sort of maybe I pushed my body to. And so I'm really passionate about making sure that women nurture their bodies in a way that is very balanced and very aligned to self-love. And I think self-love is something that maybe we roll our eyes at, or it's an Instagram hashtag, but essentially self-love, I think, is it's a vibration. It's an energy that we can be in, that is kind of like a compass to how we're treating ourselves. So, that's kind of like my journey and my experience of finding the tools to help me feel in alignment to that energy.
Thank you so much for sharing that. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of vulnerability, and my heart breaks for that sweet 14-year-old Lizzie who baked the cake out of ultimate compassion and then felt really guilty about it. So I hate it, honestly, to hear from so many people, myself included and you included, who had to go through these lows in order to be able to do our work. But goodness, how you've twisted it for the better. You said it's bittersweet. And it sounds like a bittersweet story. Now you're able to do this amazing work and help so many people. So I'm grateful for that. I am rolling my own eyes at asking this question, but I'm going to try to ask it anyway. You went through a 10-year journey of healing yourself. Can you name just some of the things? I won't even say the top things, but some of the things that helped you embrace self-love throughout that 10-year journey, even when you were kind of in a place of self-questioning or maybe even self-loathing?
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a good question. And I think, you know, really what came to mind immediately was having support.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when we're going through some of these really sort of deep emotions and self-loathing, self-abusive thoughts, behaviors, it can feel very isolating.
Yeah.
And some of us high achievers want to do it on our own.
Yeah.
And so it takes a lot of courage and vulnerability to reach out and say, I'm struggling, I need help. But it's so essential to helping us through that journey, because only we can do it. Only we can kind of like go through this whole process and apply the tools and make that make that journey.
Yeah.
But having someone cheering us along and, sharing that load that we're carrying can be such a game changer. So I call it having a cheer squad, a support network, whatever you want to call it. I think that's really, really essential.
I love that. I kind of chuckle at myself sometimes at ending up in this career path, because I am the ultimate do it alone person. I was always the person in school and college and everything who hated group projects. Like, I like to do it by myself. I like to be responsible. Yep. For those who can't see us, Lizzie's raising her hand as well. And it only took going through those lows to realize that we do need support. We do need a coach. We do need whatever form of support is right for the person. And now, thankfully, I can admit that and obviously make it my career, but it would have blown my mind at 15 years old or however old to tell me that I was in the coaching industry, which didn't even exist really back then. But even if it did, I don't think I would have believed it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there are different forms of support that we can get. So, you know, some of us thrive really well in small group settings. Some of us thrive, you know, in big groups. And so I think, you know, finding the cheer squad or the form of support that works well for you is also a really beautiful learning experience, because it's like going to an ice cream shop and kind of trying all the different flavors. There's different ways of getting support, right?
Absolutely. I love it. One of the things that caught my eye, which I believe you highlight in your book as well, are the 12 rebellious acts to unconditional love for your body. I love this. I don't really identify as a rebellious person, but I think there's a rebellious nature inside of every single one of us, even those high achieving rule followers. So can you share one of these 12 rebellious acts with us?
Yeah, of course. So as you say, like, I just love the idea of being able to rebel. Everyone's kind of like, oh, this is kind of naughty. I want to do
yeah.
And so one of the rebellious acts that I really love and that's really important to me is letting go of comparison. Because again, as high achievers, we can probably relate to the idea of comparing ourselves to others in order to know where we stand, in order to know that we are achieving, that we are the best, or that we're, you know, doing well.
Right.
And so that can kind of like lead us into the spiral of not feeling good enough.
Right.
So by letting go of comparison, what we're actually doing is that we're all acknowledging that we're very different and very unique.
Yeah.
And that can be very freeing for someone who is trapped in that kind of state of comparison.
Yes. So let's say I'm listening to this podcast. I love the idea of letting go of comparison. I'm going to buy your book, which we'll link to in the show notes and we'll talk a little bit more about as we go. But I want right now to be able to drop that idea of comparison. So I commit to it. And then an hour later, it just creeps up. I think about Sally and her arm strength, or I think about, you know, Betsy and her business or whatever, and it just naturally pops up, even though I've committed. What do I do then?
Yeah. And the first step, I think, is, you know, acknowledge that you've got that awareness, because awareness is the first stage in making changes. So that's great. You're aware of it. Second step, practice some self-compassion and just realize that we're all human. And so even if we've kind of like made a commitment to something, sometimes we're relying, well, we are always relying on certain subconscious programs.
Yeah.
And if we've had those subconscious programs in place for a while, then they're probably going to come up.
Yeah.
And so you're not failing if comparisonitis pops in.
Yes.
And then to change that, what I really like to do is to go into gratitude for what I have. Because essentially what we're doing when we get into comparison is we're looking again, we're looking externally. We're like, okay, so that person has this, 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 and this. Whereas gratitude brings us back to what we have.
Yeah.
And kind of like is a way of, again, internally validating ourselves and realizing, you know, all of the amazing stuff that we have going for ourselves. And so whatever we're comparing ourselves to somebody else about, we can kind of bring it back to ourselves and go, well, you know, in my business, I'm serving clients from a place of love and I'm able to do this. And, you know, you can kind of find a lot of things to be grateful for once you start with something small and then just kind of keep going. So that would be the process that I would recommend. And then just keep practicing.
Yes, I love that. So it's awareness and recognizing that it's great that you were able to identify that. Give yourself some compassion and then practice gratitude. And I wonder if you agree. Sometimes when I say this to clients, they're like, it feels inauthentic to say I'm grateful for X, or I don't even know what I'm grateful for. And me having practiced gratitude for like decades, I'm like, I could think of 100 things, but it's okay if it's hard at the beginning. It does become more natural with practice. So I wouldn't say do something that feels completely forced, but just try it out. Dip your toe in the water. Try expressing gratitude for something, even if it feels really small and inconsequential. And I believe the ability will grow. What do you think about that?
I completely agree. And so I find this a lot with my clients, especially when it comes to body image.
Yeah.
Because I also talk about in another rebellious act, the act of taking off our glasses and looking at ourselves in the mirror. And I walk clients through an exercise where they look at themselves in the mirror and look at body parts and reframe how they're talking to their body. And so it's very similar to gratitude. I don't recommend having a story about your body or a story about what you're grateful for that feels super inauthentic and forced, but there might be some sort of discomfort at the start. And the place to work from is something that does feel aligned and that we can believe and that does make us feel good. And once we kind of get started, then that's when we kind of push the comfort zone out and out and out. So yeah, it is a process for sure.
I love this, taking off your glasses and learning to love and at least respect at the beginning your body. I think so many people in our industry will be on the polar opposite, like, just don't even ever look at your body. Your body's not important. You don't even have to think about your body. And I don't want it to be the most important thing ever. I want our soul, our personality, our relationships, all of that obviously to be more important. But the fact is, we're going to live with our body every single day that we're on this planet in this lifetime. And it really does serve us to learn to build some compassion and respect and love for our actual physical body in its current state. So I think your exercise would be really challenging for a lot of people, but I think it is so worth it. You described the exercise really well already, but could you reiterate it for anyone listening?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is not something that I have made up personally. It's from Louise Hay. She is the godmother of self-love, but it's essentially a mirror exercise where you stand in front of the mirror and you look at your body for a slightly uncomfortable amount of time. We talk about that mild discomfort.
Yep.
And reframe the negative stories that we're telling ourselves into something more positive. And again, this isn't that toxic body positivity where you're just like, oh my goodness, I love every single part of myself. And
right.
Feels super inauthentic and fake. If it feels authentic to say, I absolutely love every part of me,
great.
Great. But there are a lot of us that's not realistic, especially after years of these self-abusive thoughts.
Right.
So really, it's about finding something that does feel aligned. So I'll give you an example. I have a huge scar across my stomach from when I had an operation as a baby. And as a teenager, especially, I hated that scar. Mm. I was so self-conscious, wouldn't wear a bikini. And so when I started doing this exercise, I would say to myself, I am so grateful for my survival scar.
Yes.
It's my sign of how strong my body is, as opposed to, oh my goodness, it's such a beautiful thing. because it just felt a lot more realistic. So that's just one example of the ways that you can kind of create a story that just feels a little bit better than what you're telling yourself right now.
Oh, I love that. That's so wonderful. Highly encourage everyone listening to do that. And like Lizzie said, just take the next step towards something that feels more authentic. My example is if people say, oh, my calves are so big or something like that, I'll say, well, look at how strong your legs are and how they've carried you through every step of your life and how they allow you to do all these things through the day. So there is always a next step. I thank you for sharing that example. That's great. So you are already talking about taming that negative voice inside of our heads through a couple of your rebellious acts of self-care. But let's talk a little bit more about that pervasive negative voice that so many of us have. Do you have another strategy or thought to help people tame that negative voice?
Yeah, so the inner mean girl, as I like to call her, she can get very loud and she can be very persistent. And so again, I think it all goes back to, first of all, being aware of her and when she comes up. And then really, I like to use the analogy of like picking clothes out of your closet. You know, you've got all of these thoughts, just like you have, you know, your clothes lined up for the day. And you can pick from your closet whatever thought that best suits you that day. And so once you have an awareness of the thoughts coming in, you can pick out a thought that feels good and that fits how you want to feel. And so, again, like this is a practice. And so just like we choose our clothes daily, we practice trying on our thoughts daily. Yeah. And so, you know, some days you might be absolutely, you know, feeling amazing. And then something happens, despite years even potentially of this work. And it's not necessarily a case of completely getting rid of the thought. It's moving through it and then going to the closet and picking something out that just feels better. And so, I guess that's kind of my main piece of advice when it comes to facing that inner mean girl.
I love that analogy. It's one I've never used before, but it's so representative. Some days I just go to my closet. I know exactly what I want to wear. I put it on. I don't think twice about it. It's natural. And then we all have those days when we go to our closet and we try on like four things and it feels like none of them are the right ones, but we have to keep trying and keep trying. And that's a great analogy for our thoughts. Sometimes it's not natural. Sometimes we got to try on 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 different thoughts before we end up with the one that feels most comfortable to us. And that's okay. We can go through the practice of recycling and choosing and dropping, even though it feels challenging at times. It's worth it. I love that. That's great.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's something that I used to really get stuck on because I felt like it was a one and done process. Right.
Yep.
You know, especially people who are in that kind of like mindset of I want to get this done and get this done well. You know, it's not a linear journey. So, you know, on those days where it is a little bit up and down, I think that analogy kind of made me feel it gave me permission to be more self-compassionate.
Love that. Love it. All right. So I've seen you mention the Goldilocks zone, which sounds like something I'm going to love. Can you tell us what this is?
Yes. So I'm going to tell you what the Goldilocks zone is, and then I'll let you know a little funny backstory about why I call it the Goldilocks zone.
You take it wherever you want to go.
So the Goldilocks zone is essentially that place of balance between two extremes. So what I see a lot on the internet is the extreme of, you know, over-exercising, having completely clean eating, not having, you know, a piece of chocolate ever, burning ourselves out and, you know, almost overdoing it.
Right.
And then at the other end of the extreme, there is there's the camp that kind of says, if you love your body, then you don't have to move. You don't have to eat a certain way. And I like to think of having unconditional love for our bodies as in the middle of this.
Yes.
And only we can define what this zone is for ourselves. The sun might be a little bit further along to one extreme or the other.
Yep.
But I think it's all about balance.
Yes.
And I know that my opinion isn't always, people don't always agree with this, but I think there is room for a place where we can want to improve our habits and our behaviors and potentially change our bodies, but coming from a place of self-love as opposed to self-hate. And so that's what the Goldilocks zone is. And
I love it.
I call it the Goldilocks zone is not only because, you know, the three bears and, you know, not too hot, not too cold, just right. When I was at UCLA interning as a dietitian, because I'm English, the athletes used to come in and they found it very funny when I would serve them breakfast in the morning and I would say, here's your porridge, here's your oatmeal. And so I got the nickname Goldilocks.
Oh,
it just seemed fitting to call that zone of balance the Goldilocks zone.
I love it. Well, I think that's a funny story that I'm sure will help listeners remember. I love the principle so much. And I think I am fully aligned with you on this. It might be fancier or more popular or sexier on social media to adopt one of those extremes. Just like everything, people love the extremes. It feels nice to just be able to say, I never have to change anything I want about my body. I never need to eat a vegetable or whatever. And yet what I have experienced for myself and for my clients is that actually sounds good on the surface, but inside, physically, mentally, emotionally, it feels disempowering. It doesn't feel like you have any authority over your health, your body, any pride, any skin in the game, really. I think if we can come at it from a place of self-love, like you said, then working on ourselves is very empowering. And wanting the best for ourselves, wanting the best nutrition, not perfect nutrition. I've got chocolate right here at all times. So
oh,
I'm with you on the chocolate.
I love that. 95%.
I go all in. Sometimes this one, you're right, is 95%, but sometimes it's not. That it depends on, you know, what I'm feeling that day. But yes, I believe completely in balance. And I also know that it helps me so much to be able to focus on my health. So thank you for sharing that Goldilocks zone. How would you advise someone who wants to reach the Goldilocks zone? Let's take sugar since I just held up my chocolate. They hear us say, okay, some chocolate is fine. Yay, that's great news. Lizzie and Megan say some chocolate is fine. And they also know that they're drinking sugary coffee and then having candy and then having soda and then having all these things, and they don't physically feel good with the amount of sugar they're consuming. How do they start to find that Goldilocks zone?
Great question. And so it will vary depending on what the topic or the item is. But when it comes to food and nutrition, I really advocate listening to your body's cues. And I work from a pyramid structure. So you've got the basic option, you've got the better option, and you've got the best option.
Love it.
And sometimes we'll go for the basic option, which is like the sugary coffee or whatever, like something basic.
Yeah.
And we can always choose that. And, you know, if we're choosing that from a place of, oh yeah, that feels good today, then great.
Great. Yeah.
But if we want to, you know, improve our health or make a healthier choice, then we can move up the pyramid. And so maybe that might look like, I don't know, like let's go with the example of chocolate. So maybe the basic option would be a Hershey's bar. And so, you know, moving up the pyramid, we could choose, I don't know, like a dark chocolate bar. And then you could choose, I don't know, a higher percentage of the dark chocolate bar. And so we can always upgrade our choices to align with a healthier option, but it doesn't always have to be the healthiest option. And I think really it comes back to that energy of, am I doing this from a place of I have to, and this is a place of kind of guilt, shame, judgment? Or am I doing this from a place of joy, self-love, peace? And so I would always just tune into that energy and, again, upgrade our energy from that shame, guilt, and judgment to happiness, peace, joy.
Love it. Love that so much. And so let's say someone's going to fast food every day for lunch, and that better choice might be, okay, you still get the burger, but maybe you get a side salad instead of the fries if they offer it. Or maybe you get water or iced tea unsweetened instead of the soda or something like that. And just see how it feels. And if they can honestly say, oh yeah, I feel proud of myself. Maybe I had less of a sugar slump after, or I didn't feel deprived because I still got the burger, or however they can connect to the positivity of that experience, that's what will keep them going. Instead of saying, oh my gosh, you're an imbecile, Megan, if I'm saying this to myself, why are you going to fast food again? No, celebrate that better choice moving up the pyramid, like you said, and that will make it feel more positive to continue.
Absolutely. If anyone is listening, I'm just nodding while she's speaking. It's just, 100%.
I think we're on the same page. And I have to say, I have not read your book yet, but I'm very excited to do so. Can you tell us a little bit more about Reclaim the Rebel?
Yeah, thank you. And Reclaim the Rebel is essentially, it's available in online in Barnes & Noble and on Amazon. And it's this really, it's designed to be short and kind of like your best friend in your handbag that you can carry around. As Megan said, there are 12 rebellious acts with very practical exercises that you can apply to step towards that place of having the body that you love. So, yeah, I'm excited for you to read it.
I cannot wait. And like I said at the beginning, I've been following along on social media. Can you tell us a little bit about the clients that you work with, what you offer on social media, just anything about you that listeners might want to know?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. That's probably the best place to connect. If you have any questions about anything that we talked about, then please just drop me a DM. And I share a lot of tips and inspiration on my Instagram account. And then if you're interested in working together, I work with clients one-on-one and also offer some self-study options. So again, just reach out and I can kind of point you in the right direction there.
Amazing. Now, I'm going to throw you a curveball as our last question, but I think you're going to knock it out of the park. If people listening want to take away one thing from this, one action step that they can take right now today, what's an action step that you would offer to them?
Oh, yeah, that is a curveball, but I think I've got it.
Okay, tell
and
us.
That is to just make one choice today that you wouldn't have made had you not listened to this podcast.
Love it. I love that. It's so empowering and it's so open-ended. And everyone listening will make a different choice, but you know, listener, you know what's best for you. So take Lizzie's advice, make one decision that you would not have made otherwise. Highly encourage everyone to head to the link in the show notes and check out Lizzie's Instagram and book. And Lizzie, I really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Of course, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, hi there, friend. Do you feel pretty good, but not great? Are you trying so many things for your health, but you're just not sure which ones to focus on? Do you sometimes feel overwhelmed with your health and maybe even throw in the towel because nothing really feels like it's working? I've been there. And after getting to the other side for myself, I've helped thousands of people get there too. I promise you, there is a better way than trying to research and try all of this on your own. There is a step-by-step system I've proven with over 8,000 hours of one-to-one coaching, and you can do this in a positive way. I call that way the Revitalize Health Accelerator. The podcast, the blog, and all the other information I put out there are the why and the what to do for your health. You can think of Revitalize as the how. I walk you through every single step of revolutionizing your life, and I'm here to support you and keep you accountable every step of the way. Every single woman who has been through the Revitalize Health Accelerator has raved about it. Women who have been struggling with their health, their body image, their energy levels, weight, bloating, sleep, digestion, emotional eating, so much more for decades, they finally feel amazing. Take it from them. Revitalize is the last health program you will ever need. If you're ready to feel empowered and energized about your health, head on over to www.thelionsshare.org/revitalize to learn more about the program. And let's chat to see if you're a good match to be the next reveler. Thanks for listening to another episode of Wellness Your Way with Megan Lyons. I always love connecting with listeners, so be sure to follow me on social media. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss brand new episodes each week. If you love Wellness Your Way, please leave us a rating and review. I appreciate it so much. Stay well, and I'll be back next week. The Wellness Your Way podcast is provided for information only and should not be misconstrued as medical advice. Please consult with your physician or otherwise qualified practitioner on any matters regarding your health and well-being or on any opinions expressed within this podcast or the Lion Share website.